All right, let's get started. If you look at the booklet I've just given you, or the little handout I've given you, it's got a whole bunch of formulas for perimeter and area of different shapes. Okay? Now, I'm not going to go over those. You should know them, and if you don't, they're there. And you guys, if you have any questions, ask me when we're doing the exercises, okay? The attendance is going around. If you get a chance, please fill that out. And we will begin right now. Okay, so now we're going to go into 2D. We're going to continue at 2D geometry, and we're going to go in and we're going to focus a lot on circles today. Okay, but let's talk a bit about what's on this handout I've given you. Alright? Two-dimensional shapes have a perimeter and an area. Okay, that shouldn't be new news to you. Okay? Perimeter is just the outline of the shape. Alright, so consider it the length of fence you need to surround something. Okay, that's a physical example. Alright? And area. Area is the surface you have to cover some outline or some shape. Okay, just think of it as the surface you have to paint. Alright? And area is always measured in units squared. Okay, so can someone give me an example of a unit? Oh geez, we're not center at all.
Uh-oh.
Oh no.
All right. Okay. Now, can someone give me an example of a measurement of area? Yep.
98 square centimeters.
Centimeters squared, right? Centimeters squared would be one. Or meters squared. Okay, we'll stick to the metric right now. Now, let's go into the other side of that handout. If you flip this handout I've given you over, there's a side that says circle. And we're going to fill in the blanks in there, okay? These are just some house cleaning. So a circle is a figure with a property that every point along its edge is...
Radius.
Is... Any ideas?
Also,
is equal is right. Equal distance. So that means that if this is my center, any point along... Oh, Jesus. That's... Any point along the edge is an equal distance from the center. Okay? So I'll just put the same. Okay. Now, the perimeter of a circle is called what? It's a fancy name for it. Anyone have any ideas? Yep? The circumference, right? The distance from the center of the circle to any point on the circle's edge is called the?
Radius.
Yeah, we could have done that one all together, right? Okay. So if we were considered this is considered as our center. Okay. Next up. A line segment that touches two points on the circle and goes through the center of the circle is called the...
Diameter.
The diameter, right? So if here's two points, okay, and it goes through the center, this would be called... This line would be called... Now, there are a couple other ones I'm just going to quickly talk about. A line that connects two points on the circle, okay, would just be called a chord. Okay? Alright? And a part of the edge of the circle, not the whole thing, just a part of it would be called an arc. The circumference would be the entire... An arc that is the entire edge. Now, here's one. The length of the, we'll say, diameter is twice the length of the, altogether?
Radius,
right? And that makes sense, right? Because all it is just two line segments from the center to different points, okay? All right, now, there is an important relationship between the circumference and the diameter of a circle. So for now, right now, I'm gonna let capital C represent the circumference. And I'm going to let lowercase d represent the diameter. Okay. Now, this relationship is, if you take the circumference, divide it by the diameter, what value are you going to get? Does anyone have any ideas? Yep?
Pi.
Pi, right? We're going to get pi, but we're going to get actually, what is pi? It's a number, right?
3.1.
3.14.
Yeah.
That's all I know it's, okay?
I know the value.
And it's going to keep on going, okay? And there's going to be a lot more decimal places. All right? And this is true for all circles. Pardon?
It's 9.6.
Okay, there is no exact value for pi. The decimals just keep on going. Now, this is true for all circles, okay? And this fixed value, like we said, is called pi. Anyone know how to spell it?
Pi.
Pi, right? It's not like pi to e, okay? And it's represented by the lowercase Greek letter for pi, which looks like this. Now, okay? Now, this equation above can be arranged. So we know that circumference over diameter equals pi. And if we wanted to rearrange this equation to solve for the circumference, what would we do? Does anyone know what I mean by when I say rearrange to solve for circumference? What I mean is you want to get C all by itself. Any ideas? Yep.
You would do plus.
Well, what operation is going on here?
Dividing.
So what do we want to do to both sides?
Multiply
D. Multiply by D, right? Multiply by D. Okay. These D's will can be arranged to. This can be rearranged. And this d over d, that simplifies to 1. And so this just becomes c is equal to pi d. Is there another way of writing that? Maybe in terms of the radius? Well, we know that the radius 2 pi r, right? Diameter is equal to 2 r. And we can just substitute 2R for D, rearrange this to 2R. Okay, I understand some of you have done this, but for those of you who haven't seen it, I'm just going over it for them, okay? Now let's go on to some more interesting stuff. Oh, do I gotta go back? Okay, sorry. Now I want you to take 5 minutes, and there are some exercises. Work on exercise 1. Okay, I'll take up one of the questions. All right, you can either include pi in your final answer or round it to 2 decimal places. Sorry, there is a boo-boo. I forgot a 9.
2.141592.
I'm going to take the first one up. If you haven't got through the other ones, save them for later. Okay? All right. So, find the perimeter of each of the figures below. 0 is the center of this, each of the modified circles below. So, let's get started. What do we have here? Well, we want to find the perimeter. So, what is the easy part of the perimeter that we know right away? James?
The diameter is 4 centimeters.
The diameter is 4 centimeters. So we know that this distance, this is the radius, right? Because if we extended this around, it would be a circle. All right, so we know that this is also 2 centimeters long as well. So, we know that the perimeter, we know that this piece, oh my god, is just 4 centimeters long, right? But here comes the tricky part. Okay. Now, we have, this is a semicircle, right? It's half of a circle. And we have to find the length of this edge. Okay? Any ideas what we can do? In the corner, yep. Right. If we took a whole circle and drew it in, I'll just fill it up. Okay. We could find the circumference of that circle, no problem, right? But what we're going to do is we're gonna, we only want half of that. So we're gonna find that circumference and divide it by 2. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do that. So now we're gonna add this other length. Well, what is the circumference, okay? Well, what's the formula for circumference? Is there a Maria? Yep.
For radius, it'd be pi 2r.
Yeah, pi 2r, or you could say it, write it, 2 pi r. 2 pi r, and r in this case is? 2 centimeters. Okay, is this is the circumference of the whole thing, which we have to divide by 2. So this answer becomes divided by 2. And I'm going to erase everything below here. 1656 is a little off. I can't believe I just did that. So it's divided by 2. 4 divided by 2 is just going to be 2 pi centimeters. And we'll change that to the approximation, and it's going to be 10.28 centimeters.
Yeah. I got it right.
Where'd you get the 4 centimeters from?
The 4 centimeters from?
Yeah.
What about the, remember the perimeter is of the entire outline of the shape.
The circumference is pi times the diameter, right? So the diameter is 4, it's 3.14 times 4. Divided by 2, it's only half the circle.
Okay. Another formula for the circumference is 2 pi times the radius. All right, we have the radius as 2 centimeters there, and divided by 2, okay? We carry this through. You also have to include the bottom of this shape because it's part of the outline as well, okay?
Okay.
All right. Is everyone good? Okay. So, not there, we're going
to keep going.
I'll show you at the end, okay? All this stuff will be aligned. Okay. Can I get everyone's attention? All right, next we're going to talk about is how they come up with this value for pi.
We don't have that.
You don't have that. I know. This part, you don't have to write it down. It'll all be online, okay?
Okay.
All right, this part, I'm just going to talk, and I just want you to listen and try to understand what I'm saying, okay? People have been trying to compute pi for thousands of years, okay? The Egyptians even developed an approximation for pi because they found a document dating back to 1650 BC that gives the approximation to be 4 times 8 over 9 squared, which gives you 3.1605, which is kind of close, right?
Well, yeah.
Not super close, not as close as we'd like. Now, the first or the theoretical approximation came around by this guy named Archimedes. Who was Archimedes? Has anyone ever heard that name before? Archimedes was a really cool guy, all right? All right, he lived from 287 BC to 212 BC, and some of the things he did in his time were really cool. Like, he defended a city with all these cool machines and engines, okay? The Romans were coming to attack. And his machines, like, have you ever heard of the Archimedes heat? Who's watched Mythbusters? Have you ever seen the Archimedes heat ray? All right, basically the story is it's probably a myth, but Archimedes took all these, developed this heat ray, and he took all these mirrors and he shined them on the Roman ships, and it caused the Roman ships to light on fire. Now, how true is that? Well, probably not very true. But it's pretty cool considering that his story's gone on, all right? He also had these other things that could flip ships. Now, let's go back to Archimedes, all right? Archimedes also developed an approximation for pi. And his approximation was so good that it's still used today. Archimedes used something called the method of exhaustion, okay? Okay, so what is this method of exhaustion? Don't worry about writing this out, it'll all be online. Method of exhaustion is you're using polygons. You remember polygons? All right, he uses polygons to approximate the area and perimeter of different shapes. And in this case, we're gonna use this method, well, the general idea of this method to approximate pi. The general idea for this method is, I'm gonna go over it, all right, right now. Now what happened was, you start with a circle of diameter 1, okay? So D is equal to 1. Now, what is the circumference of this circle, okay? Well, circumference is pi times the diameter, right? In this case, the diameter is 1. Units does not matter in this. You can choose any units, okay? And it would still give you the same answer. So we're just going to ignore units right now, but you shouldn't in most, in every other case. But for now, we will, because I just want to get this idea across. So the circumference is just, diameter is just 1, so the circumference of this circle is pi. So if we find an approximation for the circumference of this circle, all right, we're also going to find an approximation for pi. Okay? That's why we're doing this circle. Now, here's the idea. You draw a regular hexagon inside this circle, okay? Now, what do I mean by regular? All the sides and angles are equal. Okay? So, now we have a regular hexagon inside like I've drawn here, okay? Now, can anyone guess, is the perimeter of this hexagon going to be greater or less than the perimeter of the circle? Yep?
Greater.
Is it going to be greater? Sure? It's going to be less, okay? One way to think about that is, well, it's inside, shortest distance between two points on a plane. The straight line, okay, this is a straight line between these two points. This is a curve. It's the same for every part elsewhere. And so it's going to be larger, okay? Okay, I don't know. Now, what is the perimeter of this hexagon? Anyone got any ideas? Well, what if I do this? If I divide this hexagon into 6 equal triangles, okay? All right? Now, if I divide into 6 equal triangles, what does that mean? Or 6 equal pieces, what does that mean about the angle here? Any ideas? Yeah, James?
All the angles are 60 degrees.
All the angles are 60 degrees, right? Because we know that the angles, the sum of the angles at the center of a circle is 360. I'll just write this. And we're dividing into 6 equal pieces, okay? 360 divided by 6, 60 degrees. Okay? Now, let's move on to the next slide. So what I've done is I've cut a little piece out. So we know that this is 60 degrees, right? And since each one of these pieces are equal, all right? Okay, what type of triangle is the hexagon made up of? Anyone got any ideas? Yep? An equilateral, right? And what is this side's length? Okay, it's equilateral, each one of these is 60. What are each one of these lengths? Does anyone have any ideas? Yep? 0.5, right? Because if we go back, the diameter we said was 1, right? And each one of these triangles, these side lengths, is half of the diameter, okay? It's the radius. So it's 0.5, or we're just going to use a fraction in half. Call it half. Okay? Okay. Now, so we know it's an equilateral. Okay? And we know that the length of each side, well, we know that this is an equilateral, so every side's going to be equal. And we know that these two sides are half, so it's going to be half. So let's go to the next question. All right? So the perimeter of the hexagon would be what? Perimeter of that hexagon inside the center of the circle. Yep.
8 times
16?
Yeah.
Or half times
6. Half times 6, right? Because each one of the sides are equal. We have 6 of them, okay? So it would be 6 times the side length. And we know that each side length is a half. So we know that the perimeter of the hexagon is 3. And now we know that pi, or the circumference of our circle, is always going to be greater than 3. Is everyone comfortable with me using inequalities here? The greater than sign?
Yes.
All right? And what did we say the circumference of the circle was? What did we say the circumference of the circle was at the beginning? Well, we said the circumference. It's pi, right? So now we know that pi is greater than 3. Okay? But that only gives us a lower bound, or what we'd like is we'd like an upper bound. Now, for now, So what we do to figure that out is we draw a hexagon this time outside of the circle. Okay? And what do you think, if we draw it like this, what do you think the perimeter, do you think the perimeter of this hexagon would be greater or less than the circumference of the circle? Yep?
Greater.
Right. Because it's drawn inside. You can kind of see that intuitively. I'm not going to spend too much time on that. Okay. So, we know it's going to be greater than the circumference of the circle. Now, what is the perimeter of this hexagon? Well, you'd have to find out the side length. And right now, you don't have all the tools that are needed to figure that out, which we will cover next week. Well, some of you may already know Pythagorean theorem, but some of you may not. So we'll cover that next week. But for now, just take my word that the side length is 0.57735, okay? Whatever unit we choose. So in this case, it's the same as before. It's a regular hexagon. So it's 6 times the side length, 3.4641. So that is the perimeter of this hexagon outside of the circle, okay? So now we know. Thank you. Okay, so now we know that the perimeter, okay, we're in the first part with the hexagon drawn inside, we knew that the circumference was greater than 3. But now we just figured with that outside hexagon that the circumference was less than 3.4641. Okay? And once again, the circumference is just pi. Now we have an interval for possible values of pi. Okay? But that's a pretty big interval, right? We'd like it to be a lot smaller. Does anyone have any ideas how we can make that interval smaller? Any ideas? What can we do to those polygons to make it a closer approximation for the circle, for the circumference of the circle, their perimeter to be closer to the circumference of the circle? Any ideas? No? Okay. Well, what Archimedes did is he added more sides to the polygon. Because when you add more sides, that approximation is going to become closer and closer, okay, to the circumference. All right, and that interval is going to be much smaller. So what you could do is you could take a 12-sided polygon, as you can see here, and you see how there's very little space is the difference? And does it make sense that the more sides you put in, the closer that would become to the actual circumference of the circle? Yeah? That makes sense? Okay. So when he did it with 12 sides, what he ended up getting was these values. All right, and once again, that's a bit closer, right? But are we getting greedy? Do we want better? Archimedes wanted a better approximation than that. Okay, so what did he do? He used 96 sides to that polygon. And I did not want to draw that because it would take me way too long and it would just look probably exactly the same. But when he used 96 sides, he got an approximation that was pretty impressive. Okay? So I'm going to use fractions right here.
Oh, no fractions.
Oh, that's a terrible 7. Okay? He got this. Okay? And if we wrote that as a mixed fraction, and if we wrote it as a decimal, all right, I need a lot of room here. Okay. So if we wrote that as a decimal, that's what this would look like. Now, does anybody notice anything about this interval? It's pretty tiny, right?
Lots of numbers.
Lots of number. But what would you notice about the units, decimal place, the tenth decimal place, and the hundredth decimal place in both ends of the interval? I'm going to ask.
They're identical.
And if you included even more and more sides, what do you think would happen?
All the units would be identical?
Well, they'd start to become more identical. Not all the units, right? Okay. Nowadays, with the invention of computers, I've heard that there was in Japan, they got it to some crazy, like in the millionth decimal place or something like that. With computers, they've calculated so far, but it keeps on going. Okay? Now, there's some cool stories about pi, okay? There was a guy in 1610 AD, so about 400 years ago, okay? and his name was Rudolf van Kluwen of the Netherlands. Okay? He used Archimedes' method of exhaustion with polygons with a polygon with 2 to the power of 62 sides. Right? Needless to say, this guy spent a lot of his life trying to figure out an approximation for pi. And does anybody have any ideas how many decimal places he got it to?
1 million.
Not enough. Well, remember, he did this in the 1600s. So there is no computers. Any ideas? Yeah, just spit out numbers. Guess.
1,000.
Real guess, yep. Well, he didn't get it to 100. He actually got it to 35 decimal places. And when he died, okay, he had spent so much of his life on this that his wife engraved those decimal places on his tombstone. How do you remember? Well, there's a little trick, okay? They use this, may I have a large container of coffee, okay? It's able to help you remember up to 7 decimal places, okay? So what you do is, may I have a large container of coffee, you replace each word and the number of letters in that word with, then you replace it with the number of letters in that word. So may, how many letters are there?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
So make a silly error like me and forget that 9. Just remember, which my friend here reminded me, thank you. And just remember, may I have a large container of coffee? Let's move on to the area of a circle, okay? Now, you can use Archimedes' method of exhaustion here, but we're not going to do it exactly the same way he did, okay? We're going to do it a bit easier way. So, you have this circle, okay? All right, and you're going to divide it up into a bunch of equal pieces, okay? And we're going to call the radius just R. Okay? Now, we're going to divide it up into a bunch of little pieces, okay? Now, we know from the handout that it's pi r squared, so we're going to show you how you come up with that. So what are you going to do? Well, I couldn't break it up into a bunch of little pieces like 96 sides. So I'm just going to stick with 8, right? And it's still going to convey the same message. Now what's going to happen is, I'm going to take these 8, okay? I'm going to break up the circle. Okay, now I can't do this with a smart board entirely, but I kind of need stuff with it. So I'm going to break up and rearrange these into a different shape. Okay, how many pieces do I need?
8.
Okay, you guys are still awake. Good. How many do we got?
6, 7.
1 more. Okay. Alright, so we rearranged it. Now, what does that shape look like? Yep.
Parallelogram?
You can ask the next one. But parallelogram, yes, thank you. Alright, and if you can't see that, I'm going to use a nice big red line. Okay? Now, it's not quite a parallelogram, because you have those curves there, right? Okay, all these bumps. Alright? But what happens when you cut it up into a bunch of tiny little pieces? What happens to those bumps? Ruben?
Bigger.
Yeah, it becomes smoother. And it becomes, eventually, when you cut them into a whole bunch of tiny pieces, you can hardly see that, right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Okay. So, let's go on to the next page. Alright. So what do we know about the area of a parallelogram? Yep?
Base times height.
It's base times height, right?
So is that in there?
Okay. Now here's the question. Well, what is the height of this parallelogram? So I'm going to use some fancy arrows because I like using fancy arrows with a smart board. What is the height of this parallelogram? Elizabeth, I see that hand twitching. Do you got an answer? No? You?
2 centimeters.
2 centimeters? Well, what did we say? What is that length? Yep.
Wait, the height?
Yeah, the height.
0.5?
Well, no, that was with, remember when we were using that one circle?
Yeah.
This is different. What did I say it was? If we go back a slide. It was... Ruben?
The height is R.
R, it's the radius. Okay? Height of the parallelogram is just its radius. R right here. Okay. Now, what is approximation for the base of the parallelogram? Okay? Anyone have any ideas how we could figure that out? Rupin, you've already answered one. I want to give this someone else a chance. See that hand twitching? Twitching, no? All right, I missed you before, so let's try it out.
I'm thinking half of the circumference.
That's right, it is. It's half the circumference. You got it right on. Okay? Now, it's an approximation, right? So it's not exact. But remember, when we cut it up into a whole bunch of tiny pieces, that approximation is going to become pretty good, right? All right. So, we know that the base is half the circumference. So I'm going to put half circumference. And this time, I will not forget to divide by 2, right? Won't happen. You won't let me do it, right? No. Okay. So, let's change this because the smart board and me just don't get along. Okay. Now. Okay. Back here, we're trying to find the area, right? Okay. Now, we know that the area of a parallelogram is just base times height, right? So what is the base? The base is just the radius, so I'm going to replace the base with r. Okay? The base is not that. The height is r, so I'm going to put in r there. And the base is half the circumference. See, I have half in there, I didn't forget it, we're good. Okay? Now, what do we know about the circumference? What is an equation? Do we know any equations to find the circumference? Yep.
Lisa? Circumference equals pi times d diameter.
Or?
Circumference equals pi times 2 radius.
2r, right? Or 2 pi r. So we're going to keep this equation all with one variable radius. So we're going to place c with 2 pi r. What we have here is r times, I'm going to simplify this, 2 divided by 2 is just going to be 1, right? Okay, so 1. And 1 times anything is just itself. So what we're going to left with is, okay? And we're going to simplify that some more using some algebra that we've done. And it's going to be pi, we could rearrange this, pi times r, okay? And another way we could write that is?
Pi times
2r.
2r? R squared.
R squared, right? Pi times r squared, which is what we had in the beginning, right? Now, yeah. There's another way you could do it with method of exhaustion. It would use triangles. It's similar, but I like this way a lot better. So if you notice, there's exercise 2, right? And we have Pac-Man there, okay? Everybody knows what Pac-Man is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Pac-Man's awesome, okay? Now, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take up example 4, or exercise 2, question 1. We'll take it up together. So, we have to find the area of Pac-Man, okay? Now, what do you think is our first step? What's the problem here? What's up, James? Well, first find the circumference. Yeah, that could be one step, but we could be more efficient. I saw another hand up. Yep. I forgot your name.
Rhonda.
Rhonda, you had your hand up. What was your idea?
First, I found the area of the circle.
Okay, I'm going to do it in stages, okay? You're going to help me through it, okay? All right, we'll do it in stages. So, first she found the area of the entire circle. Well, what you do is you just imagine this is actually an entire circle, okay? And we find the area. That sounds like a good idea, so let's do that. So I'm going to call this one area, okay, we'll call it area 1. All right? And what is the area of the entire circle?
Pi r squared,
right?
Oh.
Now, pi r squared. So what was the radius? Well, it's 2 centimeters, right? Now, a couple of you were having problems earlier seeing that it's the radius squared, not the pi. The pi is not squared, okay? It's the radius, just to clarify that. All right? So we've done this, and it's actually, this can be simplified to pi times 4 centimeters, right? Squared. Don't forget that. I almost did. So it's 4 pi centimeters squared. That's a good idea. Okay, so we know the area of the entire circle. Now, what's the next step you did, Rhonda?
Well, then I subtracted and I did number 2, which was after it, and I got 3.14 centimeters for that, and it was the same as the missing, the unchained part on that. I just took the area of that and subtracted it by 3.14.
Okay, so you found the area of this missing piece?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good idea. See how we're missing that piece? We want to account for that. Now, we want to subtract that from it. So we got to figure out what fraction of the circle, or what fraction of the circle, or the area of the circle, is that piece. Okay, well, any ideas how we could figure that out? In the back, yep.
Divide by 4.
Divide by 4, right? Because?
Because the section there is like a quarter.
How do you know it's a quarter?
I don't know.
You don't know? Just good guess?
Yeah.
Okay, anyone got any ideas? Alice here? Yep, you're on the right track. We know that the angle at the center of a circle is 360 degrees, right? Okay, and this piece is 90 degrees of that. Okay, all right. If we were to take, let me erase that. 90 divided by 60 degrees, we'd see that that section, okay, is a quarter of the entire angle, okay? And the area is going to be the same. It's also going to be a quarter of that circle. So what we want to do is we want to take away a quarter of from our original area 1, which is Pac-Man, okay? So area 2 is the area of this piece, okay? I'm going to shade it in red, okay? It's the area of that piece. Now, what is that? Well, we know that the area of the whole thing is 4 pi centimeters squared, right? And we know that we only want a quarter of it. So we're going to divide that by 4. Okay? 4 divided by 4 is?
And
I can rearrange that, and they would just simplify to pi centimeters squared. So our final answer is we take our original area, the entire area of the entire shape, and we subtract the second area, the area of that quarter, okay? And we're going to have, originally it was 4 pi, okay? And we're going to minus pi. I hear a lot of talking. All right, and our final answer is going to be, any ideas? And I don't want a decimal value. I want you to think about this for a second. I don't want a decimal value. No, any ideas? Yep. Well, you're missing one little piece. 3. Centimeters squared, yeah, but you're missing something, you're timesing that by. 3 times pi. All right, does anybody, can anybody explain why this is? Why this is true? Yep.
Because it's 3/4 of the circle.
So. Yeah, that's a good reason. But I'm asking, like, right now, if I just gave you, let's say before, while you're doing algebra, and I'm sorry, I'm going back to the chalkboard because the smart board just doesn't like me. Can everybody see it over here? Okay, we'll see this side of 4. So we have, if I just gave you 4 pi before minus pi, don't worry about the units right now. Okay, what is that? Is that a letter? We call that, yeah, it's a letter. It's a Greek letter. Okay, it's not one you've seen regularly, but it's a Greek letter. And it's like a variable. Okay, well, it is a variable. Okay, now, when we're doing variables, if I had given you 2x minus x, could you simplify that before? With x's, you can, right? X's you're real comfortable with. What's it simplified to?
X.
So now I've given you 3 pi's, and I'm subtracting 1 pi. This is why it's 1 e dash. Sorry, just giggled myself. Okay, yeah, Alice?
3 pi.
3 pi. Okay. because pi is just a variable, and that is your final answer. Okay, that. Okay, now has anybody tried 1A? Has anyone given 1A a try? How'd we do? Good. Okay, has everybody else given 1A a try? Would you like me to take 1A up right now, or would you like me to try do it on the board, or like you to give you time to work on it? Right now, I hear a lot of right now, so we're going to take it up. Okay. Uh-oh. Okay. Now, I'm going to need someone's hand with some calculator to do some computations for me. So, we have this shape, right? I know this is really rough. And I'm asking you to find the perimeter. Okay? Anyone have any ideas where to start? Okay, anybody have any ideas? Well, let's think about this for a second, okay? If we look at this shape, what do we have? Well, we have these lines, okay? And, well, if we drew a perpendicular to here to the center, okay, perpendicular here to the center, okay, and we did that all the way through, and the lines are not perfect. Okay. Well, this would go right to the center, okay? If we did that, because it touches at one point, all right, and it's eventually going to come to that point where it's perpendicular, and then after that, if you zoomed in on this, they would start to separate. Okay? So I'm going to do a zoom in on one of them, okay? Zoom. Okay. All right, so we have this rope going around. Okay, and eventually at that point after 90, they start to separate apart. This is not a very good circle. Okay, point after 90, they start to separate a bit, okay? All right, so let's use that fact, okay? So we know that fact, all right? And if we connected these lines, okay, the distance from here, remember we draw these to the center, here, you'd have a triangle in the center. Okay. Now, quick question. What are the lengths of each side, the sides on this triangle? Yep.
So like one length would be two radii, so the diameter of one circle?
Exactly. It would be. Because if we look here, this is why I don't like the smart board. This distance is the radius. Okay? This distance is the radius. It's just twice the radius. And each one of these pieces, since it's a rectangle, these are also going to be 90s, and we're going to have a rectangle. So that means this piece is equal to this piece, and it's the same all the way through. And what kind of triangle do we have in the center if all the sides are equal? Equilateral, okay? So now we've figured out all these pieces, right? Okay. Now, if we've done that, so we know that, I'm going to start calculating the perimeter, we know that it's three diameters we're going to add to the perimeter, so I'm just going to put 3 times the diameter. Okay, I'm not going to put in the value just yet. Okay, what else do we have to find as part of the circumference? Or part of the perimeter around this shape? Yep. The circle part. Now, does anyone have any ideas how to find the circle part, the circumference of that?
It's 1/3 of the circle.
It's 1/3 of the circle. How'd you come up with that?
Separating
to
3 parts
of the diagram. You looked at the diagram, right? And yeah, and you used the diagram? Okay, now what if I asked you to use angles? Do you have any ideas how we can do that? No? Okay. Ruben? Yep?
The middle triangle is an equilateral triangle.
Hey, guys, listen, he's got a really good idea. It's an equilateral triangle.
So, the on the inside of the circle
at
60 degrees.
Okay, so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go back to my zoom in over here. Okay, and these are right angles as well, okay, because we said it was a rectangle. All right, and Ruben just told me that we have a triangle right here and it's equilateral. So that angle is 60 degrees. What's this angle? All together?
90.
And what's this end?
60.
Well, let's work it out, okay? Let's work it out. What do we know the sum of all these angles are? We'll call this angle X, okay? Right? We know that the sum of all of them is 360, right? At the center of the circle. Okay? And then we got all these little pieces. Okay? And we have a 90 piece, a 90 piece, a 60 piece, angle X. Okay? Alright, so let's simplify this. 360, 90 plus 90? 180 plus 60? 240. You guys are champions of addition. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Alright? Now, what does that mean angle X is?
Can
we try it all together?
120.
So if we're going to do proper algebra 4, we're going to subtract 240 from both sides to get angle X all by itself. But I'm going to skip a few steps. Okay, and it's 120. Now, what fraction of 120 is, what fraction of 360 degrees is 120? One third. And that's what you said, right? It kind of was intuitive by the diagram. You could kind of see it from the diagram, right? So now we know that this section is a third of the entire circle. So what does that mean? This, I'm going to use green, and I know I'm crowning it with colors. But what does that mean? This circle, how would you find this circumference? Or that part of the circumference, that arc? Yep.
You have to find the whole perimeter of the whole, the circumference.
Yeah, the whole
circumference.
Divide it into three. But, let's think about this for a second. We have a couple other pieces that are arcs, right? And they're also a third. How many of them do we have?
Three.
Three. So what do we actually have? We have a circumference divided by three, but when we add all these pieces together, what do we actually have? One circle, right? So I'm just going to actually add that there. So I'm going to add plus, and I'm going to use keep using the diameter. We have, where was I? Let me take a sec. Okay, yeah. We add one, the circumference of a circle, because we have three pieces, and they're each piece is a third of the circle. So it would just be pi d. And you guys could number crunch 3 times 27 times 9. Anybody plug it into their calculator, 3.7? 27.9 times 3? 83. Now I can't do pi times 27.9, so you're going to have to help me out. Okay. 87.65, that sounds about right. And since you are champions of addition, I'll let you work that out as final answer. Now, do you guys want to hear a story about Archimedes?
Yes
or no?
Yes!
Alright, I hear a lot of yeses and they're drowning out the no's, so let's talk about Archimedes. Alright, remember how I said Archimedes was this really cool guy?
Yeah.
Archimedes lived over 2,000 years ago, okay? And Archimedes, all right, he was a physicist, an engineer, an inventor, a mathematician. He was the complete package, right? Kind of, right? Now, he lived in this city called Syracuse, okay? Now, Syracuse was part of ancient Greece. Does everybody know what I mean by ancient Greece? All right? And he lived on this island of, it's the island of Sicily, the city Syracuse. Now, okay, Archimedes, his young life, I didn't find much information, but there's something interesting happened when there was a war, okay? There was a war from 1218 BC to, 202 BC, okay? Now, in this war, it was the two empires, okay? There was the Empire of Carthage, which were in like northern Africa, and they were to the south, and the Romans. You've all heard about the Roman Empire, right? The guys with the funny hats and the brushes, okay? Now, those two empires were at war, okay? Now, Archimedes, his city, they were originally with Rome, but then the king died, okay? And his son took over. And his son, well, he wasn't the greatest, all right? We'll just leave it at that. And he switched allegiances to Carthage, okay? This other empire. Now, the Romans did not like that one bit. So they sent their fleets out to Syracuse, okay? Now, Syracuse was this city, and it had its giant wall, and it was really well fortified, okay? And the Romans knew that, and they came prepared. But what they did not come prepared for was Archimedes, okay? He was Syracuse's ace up the sleeve. He had all these machines and war engines that could fire all these catapults and missiles, and he designed all these, and it defended Syracuse. And he kept on beating back the Roman attack with these, okay? It eventually got to the point that when the Romans saw an opening in the wall and something come out, or they saw a catapult or something, they'd run away and they're scared, okay? Because they knew Archimedes' machines were going to get them. Now, this happened for a couple years. And eventually, they kept pushing back the Romans. It happened for 2 years, okay? But eventually, the people of Syracuse, they had a party, okay? And they had a lot of root beer, okay? And they were not in the best of condition after they had all this root beer, okay? All right? So what happens when they have this root beer after they've been having too much root beer? The Romans came and they took a tower, okay? All right, and they said, it's a little joke, don't worry about it, okay? All right, they had too much pop, all right? And the Romans took a tower, okay? Because the Syracuse, they were not on their guard, all right? And they took this tower, and then they were able to spread out along the walls, okay? And what they did is they tricked the Syracuse. They let out the cry or a trumpet sound that they've captured the city. And the people of Syracuse are like, oh, we've been captured. Well, there's no point of fighting. And they lost. Some people did fight, though, but they lost the city, okay? Now, what happens when they were, Syracuse got captured? Well, the Romans, they did not want to harm Archimedes. Why? Because Archimedes was awesome, all right? He was an inventor. He created all these things. He invented a heat ray, supposedly. Okay? He also invented this thing called Archimedes' claw, which was probably true. But the story is, it's this claw that would go into the water, and it would take the Roman ships and would flip them. Alright? Yeah, it must be great for the Romans. Now, where was it? So, Archimedes was awesome, and the Romans did not want to harm him. So what ends up happening, is Archimedes gets killed. Okay? A Roman soldier, alright, kills Archimedes. Even though there were orders, leave this guy alone. He's awesome, right? And the Roman generals were pretty sad, and Archimedes died, and that's where it ends. But there's a bunch of other cool things Archimedes did, okay? That was a pretty interesting part when he was defending the city, but I'm going to talk about one other thing. He defended a bunch of machines. He was really good with pulleys and levers, and he had this quote, which they still remember today, is, give me a place to stand, and I'll move the earth. Okay, so he's using a pulley and lever, like you know how you use the leverage, put something under, push down, and it's easier to lift it. A little idea? Archimedes also had another neat story, okay? This king, the king that died, this smart one that aligned with Rome, what he had was this crown. He gave it to his goldsmith to make this crown, right? Now, the king thinks the goldsmith cheated him, all right? But he doesn't want to destroy the crown to prove it. So he goes, you know what? This is a tough problem. What am I going to do? I'm going to ask Archimedes to figure it out, right? So he gives the problem to Archimedes and said, find out if this goldsmith cheated me, okay? If he used some of the gold and kept it for himself. Well, he could do that by mixing other metals with the gold or hauling it out, but he can't destroy it. So Archimedes has got to figure out a way to do it. So Archimedes is thinking, keeps thinking. One day he decides to go into the bathtub, okay? When he goes into the bathtub, all right, he sits down, and what happens to the water when you go into a bathtub?
It gets higher.
It rises, right? And Archimedes, light bulbs all around his head. He's figured it out. He's going to use Buoyancy, that's what it's called. When you put something in the water and you push it down, and something's pushing it up, that's called a buoyant force, okay? That's more in physics. But Archimedes, you figured that out and used that, all right, to figure out that the crown was in fact cheated. But the interesting thing is, have you ever heard the phrase Eureka?
Yeah.
Eureka. Eureka, right? Well, Archimedes used it. I think it's Greek. And he says Eureka, and it means I found it. And the story is Archimedes was so excited that he figured out this problem that he went outside, forgetting his clothes, screaming, Eureka, Eureka, I got it, because he's figured out the problem. Okay? Now there's a bit of story. You got 10 minutes to work on the problem set.